Go to Matthew chapter 28 tonight, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to take a few moments to look at the Great Commission here, familiar passage of Scripture. And I am not going to try to give you everything that I wanted to preach tonight. So we're just going to scale this back and do just a short challenge and kind of whet your appetite, and maybe those that are listening online. For Lord willing, next Wednesday, we'll get started then in earnest with for a couple of weeks talking about this subject of making disciples and really the duty and the responsibility that Christ has given to us as members of His church to be involved in the task not only of being a disciple, but of making disciples. And so let's go ahead and read here Matthew 28. Verses 16 to 20, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you that we can gather together and open the Word of God tonight. I pray that you would just give us a blessing tonight. You've promised a blessing in your Word to those who read it, and another blessing to those who will heed it and put it into their life. And I pray tonight, Father, for each one who's assembled here together, and I thank you for them. I thank you for the desire they have to just study the Word of God and be encouraged tonight in what you have for us from the Scriptures. And so I pray that you would just stir up our hearts tonight and challenge our thoughts about this very important matter, that you've given us a responsibility to be involved in not only following after you, but pursuing others to follow after you. And I pray that you would just help us as we lay the groundwork and a few thoughts about this tonight from the Scriptures. I ask that you'd speak to our hearts and encourage us to do more for you than we have ever imagined that you would allow us to do before. And so challenge us, I pray tonight, from your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. When we talk about the subject of discipleship, my brother asked me if I would bring some messages on discipleship, and in particular, the aspect of making disciples. When we think about what a disciple is, we're reminded of the fact that a disciple, we know a disciple is one who is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, you can hold your finger here and just quickly turn over to the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 8, we'll come back to Matthew, so keep a finger there. In Mark chapter 8, we'll just look at a few verses of Scripture, but Jesus Christ gives us a good picture, a good illustration of what it means to be a disciple. And of course, before we can really understand what's involved, and we're going to really delve into this in the next couple of weeks with the Lord's help, but before we can really understand what all is involved in this process, in the work of making disciples, we need to be reminded of what it means to be a disciple. And Jesus says in Mark 8 and verse number 34, "When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." And he goes on to talk about there's nothing more valuable in all the world than your soul. And there's no greater pursuit for a disciple than to give his life and to make your goal, to make your passion, to make your pursuit, to follow after Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, if you're going to be my disciple, that's literally what that means when he says, whosoever will come after me, that's what a disciple is. That's what a disciple does. Amen. A disciple comes after Jesus. He's one who follows Christ, and he's one who's very serious about it. It's not just a Sunday morning fancy that we, you know, that we follow to feel good, that we put on our Sunday best and we go to church once or twice a week and then we go home and we put the Bible on the shelf and we put our Sunday best back in the closet and we go about the rest of our life. That's not what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is a full-time occupation. One who follows Christ, it's much more involved. And I know that each of you here tonight understand this principle. It's a full-time occupation. Amen. It's an all-the-time responsibility. It's a daily choice that we make to come after Christ, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, and to follow Him. And so much could be said. You can go back to the book of Matthew 28. So much could be said about what it means to be a disciple. And each one of us, I'm sure there's a constant need in our own lives for personal growth and our own commitment to discipleship. Personal growth and our own commitment to following Christ. This is an area that we never stop growing, or at least we shouldn't stop growing and stretching our faith. If you're kind of coasting in your following of the Lord, if you say, well, you know, I've been saved a while and I've got this, you know, sort of figured out. I know how it works. I know, you know, when to go to church and I know what programs I need to be involved in. And we kind of do this. We can fall into a rut. We can fall into a situation where we're very easily just going through the motions if we're not careful. And that's not what it means to be a disciple of Christ. This is an area we need to continue growing in. But really what I want to focus on in these next few studies, and beginning tonight, I knew I had a problem already before the snow was even forecasted, amen, because my wife always says, how do you preach from like just a few words on a piece of paper? And I usually have less than that for my notes, but I've got that and that and that and too many things on here. And so I was talking to my brother pastor and he said, you know, why don't we just kind of scale it back tonight and give maybe a couple introductory thoughts and then we'll really get into it in earnest next Wednesday. So we're just going to try to do that. Amen. For the next few moments. But in these next few studies, what we really want to focus on is the aspect of making disciples. Not just being a disciple, but in fact, part of being a disciple, and there's so much we could talk about in that realm of how to be a committed disciple, but in fact, part of being a committed disciple is this very aspect we want to talk about, and that is of multiplying our own life for Christ by being involved in making disciples, bringing other people along this journey with us. Amen. Christ did not save me and he didn't save you so that you could just go to heaven by yourself. There was an old time song. Maybe some of you have heard that song. Don't go to heaven alone. Take somebody with you, something like that. And expressing a good principle, a good truth. And in fact, it's more than just taking somebody to heaven, though. What we're really going to see as we look at this, what it means to be involved in making disciples, is it's far more than just getting somebody to understand the gospel. It's far more than just getting somebody to pray a prayer and make a profession of faith and start attending church. In fact, there's so much more involved, is there not, in being a disciple than just being saved? Are you with me tonight? Are you following what I'm saying? It's not enough. I mean, that, yes, that'll get you to heaven. Believing the gospel and, you know, giving your life to Christ, that's where it all begins. That's the starting point. But that's not, we're going to see, that is not God's end goal. That's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. Amen. Being a disciple, we is like when we make that decision to get saved, to follow Christ, it's like we're beginning on a journey. For the rest of our life and all the way until we get to heaven in eternity, when the process of sanctification will be completed and it culminates in glorification before God, in the very presence of God and of Christ, the one who saved us. So the rest of this journey from the time that you got saved is supposed to be about growing in your commitment and becoming more and more. If I can really put it into a simple phrase, it would be this. Discipleship is all about being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's really what it's all about. And you can use your imagination tonight, your sanctified imagination, to think about all that is involved in that. That's a huge topic. Okay, so now you understand why I have so many notes and why we're not going to get that far tonight. Okay, so there's so much involved in all of this aspect of being changed into the image of Christ. Now there's two things, and I want you to think about this tonight and as we go forward in this area of making disciples. The first thing is we need to look introspectively. We need to look at ourselves and say, am I being changed into the image of Jesus Christ? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit of God to do His work of sanctification in my life to make me a more committed disciple into the image of Christ? And then number two, as I allow God to work in my life, then I ought to be looking for others that I can invest my life in to help to bring them along so that they can not only be saved, but now you see the rest of it is so that Christ can be formed in them. And that's actually what it's all about, making disciples. You know, sometimes we think about this issue of discipleship and making disciples, and we try to reduce it down. I don't know why that is. I think it's just our American mindset. Maybe not everybody's this way. Maybe it's just the men who are leaders, and we like to put everything in boxes and stuff. I don't know. But we like to reduce it down and put it into a program. And, you know, we get this class together, discipleship class. We got an 8-week follow-up study. There's nothing wrong with that. But you realize 8 weeks of discipleship where we look at different topics like assurance of salvation and how to pray and how to read your Bible and how to witness and, you know, all these different basics of what it means to be a follower of Christ. You realize it's impossible actually to disciple somebody, to make a disciple, because they sat through 8 lessons. You understand what I'm saying? That's a good beginning point. I'm not knocking that in any way. That's an important tool. That's good. But there's so much more to it than that. And I think sometimes we get this in our mind that, if we just put somebody through a certain curriculum, if we just put them through a certain Bible study, follow-up discipleship Bible study, then, you know, at the end of that, we can kind of say, okay, good. You know, they're discipled. I did my job. Cha-ching. Next one, okay? It's not like that. Discipleship is a journey of relationship with other people that you are bringing along in your own walk with God and trying to help them to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is so much of what we do in church planting on the mission field. And, you know, this is a fun part of the work, but this is not really the glamorous part of it, okay? This is not the easy part to write a prayer letter back about and say, you know, how much time you were investing discipling this guy or that guy or this person or this other person. You know, that's not, because in discipleship, what you're really dealing with is helping people as they wrestle through sin that has a stronghold in their life. You're helping people to understand what the claims of Christ are, to follow Christ, and you're trying to help people to think biblically. It's hard sometimes to measure and quantify that and really reduce it down and say, you know, sometimes we'll get that question, well, what did you do this week in the ministry? Well, it can be really hard to sometimes just verbalize that in a very clear way, because part of it is you're just spending time with people trying to help them become more like Christ. And sometimes you're not really at liberty to, obviously, to share all of those things that you're trying to help people with. But anyway, I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's some of the practical stuff that we'll deal with in the weeks to come. Some of the things we want to look at, we'll consider some patterns of making disciples, some principles, some preventatives, the prize for making disciples. But tonight, I wanted to talk about the precedent and the priority. Lots of P's. Okay, so we like that. I thought maybe it'd be easier for you to remember. Really, it's easier for me to remember. But I think all we're going to do really is, for the next couple moments, talk about a scriptural precedent for making disciples. And we're just going to consider a couple verses of scripture, and we'll probably just end it there. And next week, we'll probably jump in with the priority and why it ought to be a priority to us to make disciples. But consider with me this thought of the precedent. You know, it's interesting to me, as I started to think about this and study it from the scriptures, what is the context or what is the precedent in the Bible for making disciples? And immediately, you know, we think of the word discipleship or making disciples. You know, the interesting thing is neither one of those are in the Bible. The word discipleship is not in your Bible. And the command, actually, in so many words in the English language, to make disciples is actually not in the Bible either. Now, that is what it means in Matthew 28. And that's why we turned there and started here tonight. Because when Jesus says in Matthew 28 and verse number 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And we'll delve more into this next week. But the word teach there is a very interesting word. And I pointed this out a few weeks ago when I preached here about a month ago or so about this subject a little bit. That word teach there is not the idea of standing up and lecturing like I'm doing right now, but it's actually the very same word that is used in verse number 16. So let me just do a quick thing with you, and I'll point this out again probably next week when we really deal with this. But in verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the 11, what's the next word? Disciples. Y'all with me? The next word, disciples. The 11 disciples. And I don't really get into the Greek. You know that we don't make a big deal about the Greek here. But sometimes it's interesting to go back and see what is the root word behind these English words. And the very same root Greek word that in verse 16 is translated as disciples, in that case, in verse 16, it's a noun, the disciples. It's a noun. Okay, you didn't know you were coming to English class. I'm not a very good English teacher, but I know this much. That's a noun. It's not a verb. A person, a place, a thing, or an idea. Amen? So here it is. It's the Greek word for that's translated disciple is a noun. Well, that very same word in verse number 19 is translated, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach and disciples both comes from the very same root Greek word. In verse number 19, it's not a noun, is it? It's a verb. This is an action. This is a command. This is something that you and I are supposed to do. In fact, Jesus, literally what he's telling his disciples, he's saying, "You're the disciples, and I want you to go make disciples." That's literally what Jesus is saying. If we could just put it, translate it very literally, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." And so literally what that means is go and instruct all nations in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The precedent, though, for making disciples, it's interesting because usually we think about the New Testament. But you know, the truth is that this concept or this idea of discipleship is actually found in the Old Testament as well. The first time the word disciples is found in the Bible, you don't need to turn there, but it's back in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 8. And Isaiah is referencing the fact that there were disciples, apparently, that Isaiah had. And literally what that would mean is there were those that Isaiah was instructing in the law of God. They were learning from him. They were coming to him for some teaching and for some knowledge. And Isaiah, as a prophet, was instructing others. He was discipling. He was making disciples all the way back in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. But you know, this concept of, if we think about discipleship as communicating the Word of God to other people and helping other people come along and understand what God said and come along in their worship and walk with Jehovah God, do we not see this process all through the Old Testament? I mean, you go back to the time of Moses. Moses instructed Joshua before he passed off the scene so that Joshua could then take that word of God and go forward leading the nation of Israel. Eli instructed Samuel. Remember when Samuel was born and his mother brought him as a young boy and left him there with Eli? And I mean, some of you mothers probably read that before, like some of you fathers like me, and scratch your heads. I can't even imagine that. You know, it's like this concept where they had, you know, it used to be the normal thing on the mission field where you'd take your children, you'd send them off to another country to a boarding school. And some families still do that today. I can't imagine that. Like going to South Africa and sending my kids to go to school up in Kenya, or something like that. But that was the idea. Samuel's mother brought him to Eli and left him there and said, basically, I've dedicated him to the service of God. And what do you think Eli did? Eli discipled Samuel. He instructed him in the Word of God. He's the one who taught him when God came and spoke to Samuel. Eli's the one who said, that's the voice of God. When you hear that voice, this is what you do. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's discipleship. That's what was happening. You can go back and you can look at the school of the prophets in the days of Elijah and Elisha. And there were these who followed with, that followed after those men of God. They learned from them. They went with them. They observed how they preached the word of God. They were discipling others. We can see it with Ezra. We can see it with Nehemiah the governor as they taught the law and they exhorted the remnant of Israel to follow Jehovah God. What are you saying, Brother George? Here's the point. God's plan has always been that those who have received His word would transfer that truth by communicating it to others so that they too may follow Him. Discipleship is not a new concept. Making disciples, teaching others the Word of God. As we have received the Word of God, we ought to communicate that Word of God to others. As we've received the life of Christ, we ought to transfer that life to others and bring others along in the journey of following the Lord. Now go with me quickly, and we're going to finish with this passage. Go to John, the Gospel of John. And I want to give you something practical and then we'll wrap this up. I told you I was going to keep it short tonight. Amen. Some of you think I might actually keep my promise. We're pretty close. John chapter 1. So that's the precedent. OK, that's the first thing we're looking at, the precedent of making disciples. We see it all through the Old Testament. But now, of course, the greatest example of making disciples is when we come to the New Testament. Amen. We see Jesus Christ, the greatest disciple maker that ever walked the face of the earth. Jesus took 12 men, one of them who was not even truly saved. And of course, we know the end of Judas Iscariot. But those 11 that Jesus left behind, the Bible tells us very fitting words in the book of Acts that they turned the world upside down with the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ did such a masterful job of making disciples. And it's interesting, it's a whole nother study. It's interesting, though, that Jesus really, that was his focus. That was his main mission. He didn't set out to start a mega church. He didn't set out to, you know, make some huge ministry for himself. Actually, what he did was he took some ragtag fishermen and he spent his life with them for 3.5 years. And in that 3.5 years, I've often thought about this. I wonder what that must have been like. As they, you know, it wasn't like sitting through a dry, boring class, you know, learning, you know, your doctrine and your theology and, you know, going off to Bible college and you've got your professor. You know, that sometimes, Okay, that's good. That's important. We need the teaching. We need the education. However, there is so much more to following the Lord than what you can learn in a classroom, is the point. And so Jesus takes the classroom, really, he just turns that whole principle on its head, and it becomes more of an apprenticeship, if you will. That's really what making disciples looks like. It's more of an apprenticeship as Jesus brings those men and he says, come with me. And let's go together and let me show you what it means to be a follower of Christ. But of course, we'll look more in detail at Christ and how he made disciples. But here in John 1, I want to take just a couple moments and begin to read in verse number 19, because the very first prophet of the New Testament who gathered disciples for the Lord would have been none other than John the Baptist. And what a tremendous example he is. What a wealth of knowledge and information we can glean here. But the Bible says in verse 19, John 1, 19, the Bible says this is the record of John. And this is really about how John made disciples. Watch what the Bible says. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who are you? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Now, by this point, like I just demonstrated to you in the Old Testament, this concept of a teacher, of a prophet, of a rabbi or whatever. And we know John was a prophet. But this concept of a man having disciples was not a new concept in the Jewish culture. So when John the Baptist comes on the scene and he begins to prepare the way for the Lord and people come to hear him preach, we know that each one of the disciples, before they went to follow Christ, they began by following John. In fact, that's where they heard the gospel and they got saved and they were baptized there and they were following with John. And then as John was teaching them what it means to be a follower of God, he's teaching them, one day soon, I'm going to introduce you to the Messiah. He's here. He's coming. And as soon as he reveals himself, I'm going to point you to him and then I'm going to turn you over to him. There's so many lessons here, but so the Jews, the Pharisees, they were confused about this John. What are you doing? You've got all these followers. The Bible says John was wildly popular. I mean, some probably because they thought he was a sideshow as he is out there in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey and dressed in a leathern girdle and camel skin and all this stuff. And so people probably just came, some of them, just to see what all the talk was about. But there were many who had come to John because John was giving them a message from the Word of God that resonated with them. And they said, there is truth here and I want more and I want to follow this. And so the Pharisees are confused, a little bit jealous, actually, because they're seeing some of their crowd go and follow after John and become disciples of John. And so they said, who are you? We want to know who you think you are. What a great lesson we learn in verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. You know what? As I contemplated how John answered them, I thought of this. John doesn't even tell them his name.
Right.
That's what they're asking. Who are you? You're out here building this ministry, gathering all these followers. John is doing discipleship, okay? You want to know what it looks like to make disciples? That is what John is doing. And they come and they say, we want to know who you are. And John doesn't even tell them his name. He just says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So here we see something about when we make disciples, we need to be like John. We need to have a clear purpose, okay? We need to clearly remember our purpose. And we'll talk more about this, but this is such a powerful truth. When we make disciples, it's not about building a ministry. It's not about being somebody. It's not about notoriety. It's not about who we are. It's not so we can, you know, brag or talk about how many people we've brought to the Lord. It's not about us at all, in fact. John says, I'm nobody. I'm just a voice out here in the wilderness with one job. I want to make the way straight for the Lord. I'm preparing a people to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. That's what it means to make disciples. You are taking people that will sit still, that have interest in the Word of God, that will join you on your journey as you follow the Lord and say, come with me. I want to help you to follow the Lord. That's what it means to make a disciple. Our purpose is to make straight. And of course, we understand the prophetic impact here and all of that. But the application of it for you and I is that we have the same purpose, to make straight paths for the Lord. What does that mean? Make it clear for people to see how to follow Christ. That's what it means to make disciples. But then we keep reading on. And then they ask him in verse 25, why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not, and he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And that principle that we see in verse number 27, it teaches us something about our posture as we make disciples for the Lord. We see our purpose is to make straight paths for the Lord, but our posture is to be one of humility. And John, Jesus Christ said this of John, did he not? There, that he was the greatest prophet ever. That was the words of Christ when men came to Jesus and inquired about John. Jesus said he was the greatest prophet ever. What a commendation. What a place of honor. Amen. To be given that kind of reference by Jesus Christ himself, to say John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. You want to know what made him great? Was this principle right here. His humility. John thought nothing of himself. In fact, in another place, in John 3, you remember when John said, he must increase and I must decrease. It's so important as we make disciples that we remember our purpose is to make straight paths for the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about helping people see the way to follow the Lord. And it's so important that our posture be one of humility. You see, it is our responsibility as those who have committed our lives to follow Jesus Christ that we would transfer our faith, our passion, and the doctrines and the principles of Jesus Christ to as many as God will enable us to touch with our life. And so, as we seek to follow the Lord, may we not be remiss to realize that it's not just enough to come to church on Sunday morning and to learn how to read your Bible and to be, you know, doing all the things that we do, praying and giving and encouraging and fellowshipping, but actually, one of the very big ingredients, the kingpin, if you will, really, in being a disciple of Christ, is this whole, it's all wrapped up in this, sharing our faith and making disciples. And it's not just about giving the gospel and going with the gospel, though that is certainly where it begins. But we need to go beyond that. And in this next couple sessions, Lord willing, next week, you know, we'll get into this a little bit of what it looks like practically and what it means to really make disciples and how we do that practically speaking, because this is what Christ has called us to. Amen. To go and to teach, he says, all nations. Amen. And then he says to baptize them, and then he says teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so you see, this is a big responsibility. It takes It takes a clear purpose. It takes a clear priority on our part. Amen. And it really takes a right posture of humility. It's so important we don't get that mixed up.